Welcome to the Awaken Therapist podcast, where we explore a holistic and transpersonal approach to therapy. In season three, you'll hear live demos, expert teachings, and dynamic interviews to inspire you to awaken transformation in yourself, your clients, and the world. I'm your host, Harmony Quiker. As a psychotherapist, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, I created this podcast to empower you to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. To learn about our trainings, community, and resources, check us out at awakentherapist.com. In this episode, I'm joined by Nicole Jones for a rich and inspiring conversation about brain spotting, which is a therapeutic technique that invites us to access the unprocessed material held deep in the nervous system in a gentle and powerful way. Brain spotting uses specific eye positions and bilateral music to help process trauma and relieve anxiety. Together, Nicole and I explore the principles and origins of brain spotting and how beautifully it aligns with Gestalt therapy. In the teaching portion, Nicole shares about how brain spotting can transform our relationship with money. I hope you enjoy this episode. I was thinking about how we were at coffee the other day, and I was sharing with you how I've been working with my performance anxiety, fear of public speaking, my whole life. I stuttered when I would get in front of the class, I would shake, I'd have teachers ask me to sit down because they could see I was so overwhelmed. And I'd been working with this for so long, and clearly I've overcome it to many degrees throughout my life, but there's still this deeper ache inside of me that I didn't quite know how to get to. So I asked you, do you think brain spotting would help? And you were like, absolutely. And then you shared some really phenomenal clinical cases with me that just had me feel so excited. And I've now had two sessions and I'm fascinated.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is fascinating. I'd love to hear how you found your way. Like, what was your first experience with brain spotting?
I went to therapy for anxiety. I realized that I had postpartum anxiety, OCD, birth trauma. My kids were like 4 and 6 when I went. When my kids were little, I didn't fit the picture of what I thought postpartum depression was. And the anxiety that I was having and the intrusive thoughts that I was having, I just thought it was just me, or I just blamed it on myself, which I'm really good at. And then sort of accidentally found myself on this team at the job I had where we were going to support moms. And I did a training in PMADS and I was like, oh my God, like I had the intrusive thoughts. I had all these things. I'm like, oh my gosh. So then I put myself in therapy with a wonderful therapist in Boulder, and she had me do EMDR and then she had me try brain spotting, and it immediately was like I just felt so connected to it, and it helped. I mean, it helped tremendously. I could go in there just feeling so riddled with anxiety and then leave just like so much calmer. I didn't know that I was ever going to go into private practice. I had a lot of reasons for that. And then I'm like, if I could have this tool, I think I can do this. So then I started being trained in like 2014.
I didn't realize that that was where you entered private practice from, because I met you after that.
Yeah.
I'll just say there's something about the name. It's like a little elusive. It's so specific. Once you do it, you're like, oh yeah, that's why it's called brain spotting. But from an outsider perspective, I'm like, huh. Like I didn't feel the spark or the interest just based off the name. So would you just explain a little bit about what it is and why it's called brain spotting?
Yeah, I always tell my new clients, I'm like, it sounds a little scary. Like to me, it sounds a little scary. It's like, what are you going to do to my brain? Like, do you have to like get in there? You know, like what's going on? What is it? And people will be like, what, train spotting? I'm like, oh my God, no.
Autocorrect always turns it to train spotting.
All the time. It's like, this is not the same situation at all. Those people that movie needed train spotting. so I would say the most basic reason why it's called brain spotting is because the basic premise of brain spotting is where you look affects how you feel. So essentially, your brain spot is just where your eyes go. And where your eyes go, that spot, it's like there's a little laser that goes into that limbic brain of yours and like starts to shred the files that are impacting your life and your life's experience. So that's the simplest way I can explain it. It's where you look affects how you feel. And there's a whole lot more to it than that, but that is, yeah, the name is, it is a little bit, it's interesting.
Yeah, and so there's the bilateral music that you sort of like in the background quietly as you focus on these brain spots. And when you say shred the files, just for those listening, I think what you mean is implicit memories, like deep inside, yeah, like that we don't even know are driving the way that we're relating to ourselves in the world. Yeah. But there's something about like the music and the looking at the brain spot that like opens a consciousness that guides.
It's like it holds that file open where those memories are, and those things were unable, they were not processed. That's why they're stored. You know, that's why they're there, and that's why they are coloring our life's experience. So it's like that brain spot kind of like holds that file open. So the emotions around it, everything around it can be processed through, and the emotional reactivity is softened.
I think that that's such an important point. I actually got the chills. So the brain spot holds the file open. That's so fascinating. I'll share that when I was doing my second session yesterday, I immediately, like the moment I went in, I went back to my trauma of falling on my head when I was 5 months old. And I've done so much work and I've revisited this in so many different ways, but not this way until yesterday. And I experienced that. It was like the file was being held open so that I could really be with, this was a near-death experience. I left my body and I kept saying, like, I don't want to come back, but want isn't the right word. I'm trying to decide if I want to come back, but decide isn't the right word. So the file was held open long enough for me to really just see like the process of leaving and then coming back without the charge.
Oh, I that gave me goosebumps because
Yeah.
at 5 months old, we don't think we remember that, but we remember that. We remember our bodies hold all of that.
I'm curious to know what you think about this, Nicole. You know, as a gestalt therapist, we work a lot with polarities. And with the bilateral music, what I've noticed is like, so I have my first brain spot, and so I was there with my young one. And then the music kind of pulled me to a different spot, kind of naturally. It took a while, but like naturally. And what started happening was this like deep integration of my adaptive strategies and the trauma, like sort of like a titration back and forth.
Yes. When you say polarities, I think of a lot of things. But the thing with brain spotting is, I find that our bodies and our brains will so often naturally resource us. So take us like, we can be in the trauma and that activation. That's what we call it in brain spotting, that uncomfortable place. And then suddenly we're just like swaying over here to where there's ease or calm or peacefulness. And you know, sometimes there's actually a brain spot too. You know, I don't know if you've done with two brain spots yet, where you're like looking at one and then you're looking at another, and sometimes they're far away from each other, sometimes they're not. But I find that with my clients, just like naturally, like, oh, now I'm just feeling all this peace, but I'm in this place that's supposed to be so uncomfortable. And as therapists, we can direct to the polarities. We can direct from activation to that more calm, peaceful, grounded, neutral, joyful, whatever it is your desired state is that you've chosen your second brain spot to be. And we can guide that. But a lot of times my clients will be looking at their spot and then just like, I really want to look up here and just feel so much love or expansiveness when I'm looking up here. It's like, let's stay there. One of the things about brain spotting that is one of my favorite parts is we are trained to be in constant uncertainty. If one of my clients is strongly directed to go this other spot, you let them go there because you have no idea what's actually going on in the brain. In our trainings, we talk about how there's between 1 and 4 quadrillion connections in your brain, more than stars in the sky. So how can we possibly think we know all the time?
I love that so much because actually, to me, that's also part of the effect as a client. Like, I had this like narrative about myself that I was working with yesterday, and I realized, like, oh, I reduced myself down to this one thing for certainty, but I'm actually all the things. And that felt so good, like so integrating and like a neutrality really that came with it. Yeah, the uncertainty feels really important.
It's like the basic, I mean, it's one of the main cornerstones of brain spotting is being in that uncertainty. And I love that, but it is hard for therapists when they're training in it to step into that. Because we are kind of given this idea of we are the expert, which we are, we still are, we still have all this knowledge and all this wisdom, but just to like step back and not intervene when our clients are like, oh, I'm looking here, but I really want to go here, and I'm feeling all this, integration and neutrality, and that's what brain spotting, we're trying to integrate. And brain spotting, like all, I think, modalities, we're trying to take the nervous system from dysregulation to regulation, and to bring that like, just integration into our body. So when we do go out and move out of dysregulation, which we actually need to every day, we want to be able to come back and not get stuck in that spot.
Another thing that actually reminds me so much of Gestalt, aside from the anti-authoritarian ethos, which is very Gestalt also, is this way that we really trust the client's organismic self-regulation, that when we give them the conditions of that uncertainty, welcoming, neutrality, and we create the opening for them to find their way through, they will naturally. We're really the container creating the environment. It's so similar in that way.
It is that attunement that we talk about all the time. That is, you have the attunement, and then you get into this uncertainty and you allow that, and then you just see what happens. And also that loving holding. I mean, David Grand, the founder of Brain Spotting, he's developing what he's calling his neuro experiential model. And it's all these things that we're speaking of, but it's like the client walks in with what he calls their frame of experience. So their experiences in their lives, their past traumas, epigenetics, the familial patterns that are inherited, like all these things. And we just sit there and hold them without expectation of thinking we can guide or diagnose or jump to conclusions and think we know better. It's just like, okay, this is what you're bringing in today. This is who you are. And holding that person is so whole without any judgment and just being attuned to that. It's just, oh, I love it so much. It's so good.
And there's also this piece too of trusting the client's sovereignty that they're like, I don't know if this is common, but the first question that I was asked was, and where do we begin? And I was like, oh, well, that's a fascinating question. I like it. Where do we begin? Having that invitation to sort of look around and decide was really. I loved it. Loved it so much. I know that you also work with clients with their beliefs or relationship to money. And it's interesting. You found your way with postpartum anxiety. I found my way with performance anxiety. And there's, whatever the entry point is the entry point I'm imagining. But I'd love to hear more about your work and your passion for working with clients who want to change their relationship to money.
If I can just get a little bit of self-disclosure, for so long I really struggled with getting my own private practice off the ground. And I kept hiring these business coaches to like figure it out. Whenever they would talk to me about money mindset blocks, I knew as a brain spotting practitioner that it was all in my limbic brain, but I kept still trying to use my neocortex to make the changes. And so then I get a little ways and I'd slide back and just doing all these things. And then finally, I really just was like, okay, God, if this is what my financial life is supposed to be like, so be it. Just like help me get through it. Like this is what it's going to be. But because of my tendency towards anxiety, the money anxiety, I could not shake that. And so then I serendipitously stumbled upon a brain spotting money coach. And I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna work with you. And I was really went to work with her, not to help me make more money, just to feel at peace with what was. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to feel peaceful with what was. And I did. I worked with her for a while, and simultaneously I was reading a book called It's Not Your Money by Tosha Silver, which is an amazing yogic book on money. I hired my person in like late spring or early summer, and suddenly I like the next second half of the year I like doubled my income, and then the year after that I doubled my income again, and I was just like, oh my God, what's happening? And then I see some therapists in my practice, and they all were deciding to kind of launch their own thing. And so then I was helping them. And I was like, huh, I think I've got something here. And it's really fun work. But what I found is our relationship with money is ultimately about our relationship with ourselves. And our relationship with ourselves has been molded by our experiences with our caregivers, you know, the neighborhoods we grew up, the cultures we, I mean, all the things. So we have these like money things, but just like your performance and my postpartum anxiety, it's just an in to healing the whole. That's all it is. And so much of the work that I do with people is, yeah, they'll talk about this thing that happened, like a money trauma, which can be all sorts of things. But then we're always going back to this time when like that things that have nothing to do with money at all. I experienced the power of brain spotting in my own money work. But then I'm like, how, all these people are out there trying to like heal the relationships with money and doing it with this top-down approach, and they're not getting anywhere.
As I'm listening to you too, I'm just thinking about therapists, and I know I certainly had this as a new clinician of like, we want to serve, and where does making money sort of contradict that in some way? I see you nodding. I'm imagining you see that in your practice. Yeah.
I mean, I live that. It was like we have this desire to serve. And then I also think we are in this culture that makes us feel guilty for wanting to make a decent living. And so we kind of get stuck in there. I think it's called noble poverty. So believing that there's virtue in not having any money and that good people don't have it. And then we should just give away all of our stuff. And like therapists kind of can buy into that stuff and then also feel guilty if they want to charge more, if they don't want to take insurance, or they see too many clients, or they go beyond. Like there's so many ways money stuff shows up there. And I love them all. Like, well, I never have taken insurance because I worked in insurance before going into private practice, and I was like, okay, not gonna do that. But I see it. They're just, if you go into a therapist Facebook group and people talk about money, it gets to intense, almost vicious. It's kind of crazy. Like the scarcity mentality is very strong. And, but I also think as therapists, we've worked hard. We do really good work.
Thank you. And I'll put all of your info in the show notes, but if people want to learn more about working with you, where can they find you?
I have my website, which is awakened-wealth.com. I'm also just created a therapist money intensive. So it's a brain spotting intensive for therapists specifically. And I'm going to give them a few of my access to a few of my classes from my Awaken Wealth course. And then we'll do like 3 hours of brain spotting, deep dive on what their money blocks are, and then give them a like a little path forward. And I'm only offering money intensives to therapists just because I feel like I really want to see therapists make money. Like, I want them to feel free. And what money is to me is different. You know, someone else might have a whole different like idea. It's like, I just want to be fine taking insurance and seeing this many clients and wanting to take care of myself. Great, let's work towards that. So just feel peaceful in your body about it.
Beautiful. What a beautiful offering. Yeah, thank you. If you found this episode meaningful and want to hear the full conversation, you can access the entire episode by joining us on Patreon. Your support helps make this work possible and allows us to continue offering deep experiential content like this. As a member, you'll also get access to extended sessions, discounts on trainings, and behind-the-scenes discussions on the therapeutic process. To join the community and learn more about our trainings, visit us at awakentherapist.com or click the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening.